Good morning. This morning, you just heard a beautiful song, James. That was perfect. Regarding Psalm 6, so that's what we're going to be today. And so if you have a Bible, you might want to turn to that, or I think it's going to be up on the screen in just a few moments. It's a beautiful psalm. It's in two parts. And I'll just let you know ahead of time that the first part is going to probably depress you. But there's always the second part. And we're going to be talking about a person that had some great distress and almost in depression and talks to God about it. And then we're going to also take the Old Testament passage and we're going to go and, if we can, travel a little ways to the New Testament. And we're going to see how God and Jesus respond regarding mercy and forgiveness. And that's really the title of the lesson, Mercy and Forgiveness. And so I'm hopeful that as we learn through King David, that we can also benefit from what he went through and use it in the same manner that he did in regards to God. And then also looking at our response to Jesus and how that can work so beautifully in our life. If you would, go ahead and put the first slide up. And as you can see there, should be all there as far as the first five verses, which is good. And what we want to do, if we can, is just simply go through the psalm. And the lesson's not going to be very long, so you have to, if you can, grab it while you can, and you'll see that it's all powerful to where, even though it may be a short time, it's a valuable time, hopefully, for us this morning, like the Word of God always is. And so what we want to do is we want to see if we can't look at the interpretation that's here and how powerful it is for a person's life. We'll start with verse 1. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? So here you have a situation of where David is appealing to God and asking for his mercy and forgiveness regarding sin in his life. Now, some want to interpret this, well, he had a sickness. He had a sickness, and he had a physical sickness, but he also had a spiritual sickness. For he felt that God had abandoned him, or he felt that God was punishing him. So we can actually look at that in our life when we sin or have sinned. And what's beautiful about this is you want to look at your past as well as your now as well as your future. And what we see in David is that he had a sin that he felt like he had committed and that God was no longer with him. Now, when we look at David, that's why it's so good to look at David. It gives us a mirror to look at ourselves sometimes, for we sometimes fail in life. Now, a lot of people have tried to find out what that sin is. I can't give it to you this morning. All I know is he had a bunch of them. If you remember, he had a sin with Bathsheba. If you remember, he had a sin with her husband, got him killed. If you remember, he was fleeing Saul. If you remember, he had a little problem with his son Absalom. And so you begin to see all types of reasons as to how he might be asking for God's mercy and forgiveness. Well, when we look at our life, we can also look back upon our sins. And what did we do about it? As believers, it's totally different than unbelievers. As believers, we sometimes can identify our sin because of our spiritual knowledge and understanding. We can identify A good example is today, if we are going down the road and the speed limit's 70 and you're going 90 and the police officer pulls you over, well, you kind of know that you committed a sin because of the fact that you know what the law is. And if the officer were to ask you, were you speeding? You have two choices. You ask for mercy, or you simply say, I think the radar is wrong. Don't think that would be too smart. So here, David is now appealing to God, knowing that he did wrong. And also he could have been, you know, it mentions here enemies a little later. And he could have been with the ungodly. That could be his sin. Do you remember what happened to David when he was fleeing Saul? He went and joined the Philistines. Now, what's significant about the Philistines? David and Goliath, remember? And so when David fled, where do you think he went? Among the Philistines. He went to the city of Gath. What was Gath? Hometown of Goliath. Can you imagine? So here you see David having many reasons as to why he would appeal to God. But the important part here, and this is where we can use this in our lives, is that he starts off with this sin by praying to God. This is a prayer. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. So we start off with prayer. Anytime you feel like that you're separated from God or that you've committed a sin, pray to God about it. Now notice what he's asking for. He's asking for mercy. And the reason why he's asking for mercy is he knows he can't ask based upon his own righteousness, his own goodness. He wants mercy. And so as a result of that, we can do the same. We pray to God and we put ourselves up by saying, you know what? I can make all kind of excuses as to why I did what I did. Or you can just simply say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. And I just ask for mercy. That's my need, is mercy and forgiveness. Now, here's one that probably you have said on occasion. I know I have. Verse 3, my soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? You see, we live in a society today where it's instant that we do things now. And it's wonderful. Technology is wonderful. Drive-in restaurants are wonderful. We want it now, and it just takes seconds. But yet, when we have this situation where we're physically ailing and we're spiritually ailing, then we sometimes will throw up our hands and just simply say, how long, oh Lord, how long is this going to go on? And then he talks about, not only is he in deep anguish, and this is something that he thinks is urgent, he brings up something that's quite interesting. And that is, turn. In other words, he's thinking God has turned on him. Have you ever felt like that? Because I've sinned, God is no longer around. He's no longer present in my life, and so therefore, I'm in deep trouble. And it affects you so much that you're physically sick. And you know, that's what's interesting about sin. It's oftentimes not the sin that causes you the anguish. It's the result of sin. Isn't that true? And so here he is ailing, physically as well as spiritually. And then he says, save me because of your unfailing love. So he acknowledges that. And then notice this is very interesting. Verse 5. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name who praises you from the grave. And he's basically telling God, I need to get this done now. Because if I go to the grave in shame, there is no more appealing to you, for you won't be able to hear me. I'll be dead. So I don't want to go to the grave. You know, I had the flu one time when I was younger. I thought I was dying. Have you ever had the flu really bad? You just feel like you're not going to make it. And I remember when I was young, I remember appealing to God saying, God, I don't think it's time for me to go to my grave because there's some things I need to correct. And I don't want to go there if you can't help me. Well, David's saying the same thing. I don't want to go to the grave because who praises you from the grave? But notice what happens now. Let's go, if we can, to the next slide. And we'll go 6 through 10. I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. So now what we have is a reverse of what we have in the first five verses, and that is God has answered his prayer. And oh, how wonderful he feels now, physically, as well as spiritually. In fact, he's so confident now, he's basically telling his enemies, you turn. I don't have any threat or fear from you anymore. You turn. And oh, you're going to regret being my enemy because I have a powerful God. But here's one that we can take with us too. How often have you had difficult situations in your life? And especially when it's sin involved, of where you just can't sleep. In fact, you have a hard time during the day. You can't just get it off your mind. And if you feel like God's no longer a part of your existence, then you're a miserable person. But how often are the hours, the darkness of the night, so terrible that we can't even sleep? And so we express it by tears and weeping, and we're in anguish. And we don't know if there's any out. But what I love from this is that weeping is a voice. And so it's not bad. It's something that God accepts. And in David's case, his weeping is from a passion. It's from a love. It's from an understanding of who God is. And so he's just simply going to the depths of his heart and pouring it out to where he wants to release it. So crying is good when it comes to spiritual matters. And it's a good release for you because God hears your weeping. In fact, there's one passage in Psalm where it says God puts our tears in a bottle. And so here David is utilizing that in his anguish. But he's so happy that God has accepted his prayer. And I love that. Because as a believer, if I'm going to pray, then I'm going to know that it's going to be accepted. So this is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. Now here are some things to consider regarding the psalm. First is our relationship with God matters. Pure and simple. Second, God listens when we come to him in faith. Third, understanding, not someone else's understanding, but understanding that prayer and the Word of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are very important in the Christian life. Fourth, attitude matters. Are we submissive? Are we trusting? Do we give thanks to God? And fifth, God loves me and is ever present in both my good and bad circumstances. Now let's go to John 14 real quick, and then I'll finish up. John 14 is where we are now, and different from where David was, because of the fact that Jesus is now alive, and Jesus is now with us today. But here's a teaching from Jesus to his disciples who had a tough time understanding him at times. And so here he is now trying to do it again. And in John 14, it's just full of beautiful passages of hope and of how we no longer are acting by ourselves, but we are acting knowing that Jesus is with us. My Bible's got these little thin pages, so I have to play with it more than what I want to play with. John 14. And first of all, he wants to put them at ease because they realize that he's talking to them earlier about the fact that he may be leaving them. So he starts off in verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" But notice how he talks about himself and the Father. Thomas, one of his disciples, said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him." But Philip asked a question, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Now notice this teaching, though, which is difficult for a lot of folks. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, this relates to the Old Testament passage in Psalm 6, and that is, "Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened." Prayer. So when you have a need, ask. When you have a praise, glorify. Be thankful. But Jesus is the answer to any fear that you have. Jesus is the answer to any circumstance that you have. Jesus is the answer to any physical or spiritual down that you may have by simply leaving it to God and praying and lifting it and not trying to keep it. You know, in Matthew 11, what does Jesus say? "Come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So don't burden yourself to where you have to take it on. You can't. You can, but lift it. Allow yourself to be in God's hands. And as David did, and as Jesus is telling his disciples, all you got to do is ask. There's a little thing that was sent to me. I have a friend of mine who is in prison ministry, and every morning he sends me a very positive scripture or thought that I can consider for the day. And so this is one he sent me just yesterday. "When storms come your way, just remember you know the master of the wind. When sickness finds you, just remind yourself you know the great physician. When your heart gets broken, just say, 'I know the potter.' When roads are closed against you, remind yourself you know the great ocean divider. It doesn't matter what we face or go through. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is everything we need." Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for what you mean to us and that you're ever present in every circumstance. And may we recognize that in both our good times and our bad times, but especially in our bad times. Let us not fear. Let us use our faith, knowing that you're God over circumstances. And thank you for your Son, Jesus. And may we always rest in his care and his hands in every need. We ask that you continue to be with this congregation. Be with those that aren't with us today. Bless them. Be with every church all over the world that's proclaiming your truth. And may people be drawn to your Son Jesus, and may your Holy Spirit give them life this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.